Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Divine Goddess Radio. We are your hosts, Marie Langley.
And Beth Jacobson.
And thank you for joining us this evening. Our show is a venue to discuss the many facets of healing, shifting, and spirituality.
And you can now listen to Divine Goddess Radio 2 times a week. We're on Tuesdays from 7 to 8 Central Standard Time and Thursdays from 8 to 9 with our Empowerment Hour with a business coach. You guys can be a part of Marie and I bringing the Divine Goddess Radio into a whole new arena of turning it into a business. It's no longer a hobby. It's what we're here to do. It's our passion. So you can also, if you have any questions, concerns, any comments, any feedback, you can email us at divinegoddessradio@gmail.com. If you'd like to set up a goddess party, it's that time of year, Christmas parties. They're starting. Marie and I are available individually and as a team to come into your homes, schools, communities, your businesses, your corporations. Again, you can email us at the same email address or call Marie at 651-303-0555 and Beth at 651-900-4136. Also, please go and like our Facebook page, Divine Goddess Radio. We'd appreciate it. Let's build the listenership and the community. Also, go check out our website, please, at www.divinegoddessradio.com. We also have a blog. It's divinegoddessradio.wordpress.com. So welcome, everybody, to Tuesday. Welcome, welcome.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. And, you know, we're very pleased this evening to have on our program Lori Bessler, who is the founder and owner of Mindscapes Unlimited Mind Coaching Center in Lino Lakes, Minnesota. And Lori is known for her strategic approaches for significantly improving lives personally and professionally. She has developed the Mindscape System of Success and Rapid Results Coaching Program, an audio series for transforming clients from the inside out. As a certified mind coach, national award-winning motivational speaker, and hypnotherapist with over 14 years of corporate experience and 19 years in small business, Lori empowers clients to break free from barriers such as stress, anxiety, lack of focus and follow-through, negative thinking, and procrastination. That's a big one for me. She is an inner communication and stress management expert who specializes in working with entrepreneurs and business professionals struggling with a busy mind, who want more control, are a bit stuck, yet are ready to step up and get forward, focused to reach higher levels of success in all areas of life. So welcome, welcome, Lori.
Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, ladies, for having me. I'm so excited, and thank you, listeners, for listening to our program this evening. It's so exciting.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you, everybody who's tuning in. Well, you know what, Lori, why don't you just give us a little, why don't you talk to us about how did you get onto your path? I mean, what brought you to the point that you're at now?
You know, I always love to share my story because I find that it's really empowering to a lot of people. A lot of people, a lot of times when we look at other people and we see somebody that has, you know, accomplished a certain level in their business, they think that they're just, you know, maybe born with a silver spoon in their mouth or, you know, things just came easily for them. And so when they hear my story, they're like, holy crap, did she ever have to conquer a lot of stuff? And I'm an everyday person just like everybody else. And so, you know, it gives people the opportunity to be able to say, wow, you know, if Lori could do that and overcome those things and she's an average person, you know, gosh darn it, I can too. So that's how I really like to open the mindset to what it is that I'm about to share, is to really let the listeners know that, you know, I really believe that each and every one of us have so much more potential than our little pea brain can even comprehend. And, you know, there comes a time for me and many other people in my life when I felt severely stuck. My spirit was broken, and I was sinking down into self-doubt. I was really unsure of how to push my life past all the struggles I was experiencing. And I know, you know, most people, I would say we all, but most people struggle to find contentment and purpose in the everyday somehow. And we're challenged, you know, by insecurities. I think, you know, as a coach, I know so many people that come to me, they have these insecurities, and often they think that they're the only one, you know, and we have these setbacks in life, and we face people that are critical and judging, and we face opposition, and we fear people's criticism, and we make mistakes, and we think we shouldn't, and even though everybody makes them. And so, you know, I'm sure the listeners right there are relating to a lot of that, you know, in what I've just described. I can really remember a time in my life when I really struggled to feel truly happy. You know, and I'm talking about enthusiastic, you know, have you, you know, a point in time in your life when it's going good, you have those laugh your head off moments, like pee your pants. Have you ladies ever had that experience?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We all love
yeah.
that. And we wish that would happen every day, but, you know, sometimes life happens. And we all want to, you know, be able to be strong, and no matter what is happening in our life, we want to just know that everything's going to be okay. However, so many of us get lost in that pathway. We lose our light, and we you know, we just can't remember who we are or how to be happy anymore. So my life, I would have to say that most of my life, I was a silent sufferer, if that makes sense. I'm hearing a lot of crackle. Is that me?
I'm not sure. You kind of faded out for a second. It could be. I'm not sure. There's some kind of crackling.
Yeah, I'm
coming
okay.
through the line. Yep.
All right. I'll check to see if you guys can hear me. Well, in my story, it begins with, you know, we all start our life with our childhood struggles, right? We all, you know, I have people that I laugh when they say, you know, I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I don't know many people that haven't, you know. And my family, you know, my parents were very expressive. I would say they're very, I would say that they were very, they fought a lot. And I am empathic. I don't know how many people know what empathic is. Do you ladies know what empathic is? I'm assuming you do.
We do, yes. But if you want to go ahead and explain it, so in case we have a listener that doesn't know, that would be great.
Okay. Well, you can go on my website, because I actually have an article on being able to find out more information if you are empathic, because I work with a lot of clients in that that have those kinds of characteristics. The ones that really stand out to me more than anything else is the fact that when you're empathic, you can feel other people's emotions. You can feel the stress and the tension of the things that are going on in the world. So if you have somebody that approaches you and they're very controversial, they cause conflict and tension, and you feel it in your body, or, you know, somebody's going through a lot of pain and a lot of struggle and a lot of hardship, you can feel that in your body as well. You can even feel it if you watch a TV program and you see, you know, like me, I love animals so much. And if I see an animal tormented in any way, shape, or form, I mean, it just physiologically, it drains me. It just overwhelms me. So there are people that really need a lot of downtime. They need to be with nature. They need to do a lot of spiritual, emotional healing and clearing to get rid of all of that kind of inner torment, I would say, in that. Do you guys have anything to add to that at all?
No, I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, you know, feeling feelings that are not your own, and then having to distinguish that, you know, from your own versus the world. Or you could walk into a room at work, you could walk into work and you're in a great mood, and you walk in and you pick up on somebody else's bad mood, and then you crash, and then a lot of people can't figure out why. So that's part of being empathic.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. I agree. And so as a child, you know, unbeknownst to myself,
I was very empathic, and so when my parents fought, it would just rip me apart emotionally and cause great anxiety, and I would bite my nails and I bit them down, I bit them all the way down to the cuticle, and they would bleed, and it's just, you know, just emotional things, and I didn't know, you know, why was I different than other members in my family, you know, at that time. And then as I grew up in the next, I guess, big struggle I would have to say I experienced in my life was where when I was in high school, I graduated from high school without ever really fully reading one book. I read the front of the book, the back of the book. I'd skim through it, and I'd take a test. And, you know, by the grace of God, you know, I'd be able to be on the be on a roll, you know, every semester in school. But it was a huge struggle, and I struggled in college. I had serious tests, struggling with test phobias, and I would just kind of like wipe out. My brain would wipe out. I couldn't remember what it was that I wanted to say. And so, you know, I felt, you know, pretty insecure and incompetent. And then in that time in my late teens and my early 20s, I struggled with a 7-year battle of eating disorders, anorexia, and bulimia. And then once I, you know, came in the corporate world, I finally had a job. I worked hard. I moved up the corporate ladder. I was being promoted. I was a fast learner. I was a training facilitator, and I, you know, trained the entire support staff. And then after 14 years, I became a dislocated worker in corporate America, and there I was, you know, starting all over again, thinking I was going to retire at 50, and now, you know, what do I do? And you know, I think in life what happens is you can deal with so many things, yet when they build and so many of them all happen at once, you shut down, you start breaking down. And at that time I was in a very mentally and emotionally abusive marriage, and I was trying to work through that, and my daughter was in elementary school, and she was being diagnosed for learning disabilities, and she was falling behind. And, you know, I had found a new job, and I was being very successful in it. I was in direct sales, and I, you know, built it up. In 9 months, I promoted to manager, and I built up a team in 3 years to over 200 nationally recognized consultants. But, you know, that all looked good. I was earning trips every year, but, you know, how many of us know that life can look great on the outside, yet on the inside, you know, my marriage is falling apart. My self-esteem was crumbling. My world was just very, very toxic. And, yeah. Right, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at the age of 41 then, you know, moving forward into that, at the age of 41, you know, I was going to the doctors because I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on with me? I'm losing my memory. I was literally losing my cognitive processes, my ability to speak and retrieve information that I wanted to say. I couldn't come up with the words, and the stress was becoming overbearing for me. And at that time then, I got diagnosed with ADHD. And attention deficit disorder. And the psychiatrist that I had seen at that time put me on a medication, and she had said that, you know, typically people who have ADHD have, they have like a generalized anxiety disorder, so we're going to put you on an antidepressant first before we give you or try any kind of stimulants in that environment. And oh my gosh, it destroyed me, you guys. It was just a nightmare. It had serious side effects. I just lost my personality. I didn't have that motivation, that self-motivation that I had previously in my life. And then, you know, she had me try these different kinds of medications, and one night, you know, after a medication that I tried, I really felt like just jumping off the high bridge. I imagined going to the Stone Arch High Bridge and just jumping off and just saying, you know, Lord, take me. Just take me. I want to end my life. And I knew, you know, I had enough sense ability within myself to say, this has got to stop. I'm done with this stuff. And so I went to the psychiatrist and got in right away, and I said, you know, I am done with this medication stuff. You know, this stuff is not working. And she said, well, you know, you need to be on it for 2 weeks to be able to allow it to experience the full benefits. And I said, I don't think you hear me. I don't think you hear what I'm saying, and I'm sharing this story because if there's any listeners out there, mm-hmm. And they're hearing, you know, people that are on, their kids are on medication, you know, we need to be the advocate. And and I told the psychiatrist, I said, you know what? I said, you're not listening to me. I'm just telling you that, you know, I think you're having these suicidal thoughts, and that's not right. And it's people like you that are telling me to stay on a medication like this for 2 weeks. It's no wonder that kids are shooting other people or, you know, doing crazy things and committing suicide. And needless to say, I reported her. I fired her and I reported her and I wrote her out.
Wow.
And I went to see another psychiatrist, and he had put me on a stimulant, and it immediately had some benefits to improve my cognitive processes right away. And then I studied under Dr. Daniel Amen, who had wrote a book about the six different forms of ADHD. And one of them that I later found out was myself, that they said never put you on an antidepressant. And so, and we need to trust our heart and listen to that. And I swore to God at that time that I would find a way that I would be able to help people in a natural way where they really didn't even need medication. And I studied sound therapy for 6 years, and I create audios today, you know, to be able to help people overcome that. And so I'm almost done with my story, and I have a couple things left that will lead into, I really believe, in how we can live our life, our best life every day. And that is, you know, at the age of 44 then, you know, is when I really hit rock bottom. My marriage was ending. I had let go of a very successful business. I was married to an alcoholic. And I really wanted to just, you know, you be that wife that would, you know, really, you know, they say divorce is wrong, you know, Christian woman. I didn't believe in divorce, and I tried to hang in there and do everything I could. And so, you know, letting go of the business, which he hated, and I tried to do that. But I was getting sick after that. I mean, I was really getting sick. The stress of the abuse, the mental and emotional abuse. I was losing my eyesight. I was lethargic. My ability to even my equilibrium, I was driving off the road at times, and my head was like bobbing. I was just exhausted. And I went to the doctors to try to figure out what was happening, what was the root of the problem, and they couldn't find anything, you know. And the crazy thing is that you say, you know, oh my gosh, you know, find something wrong with me, you know. And they say, you're healthy. You're saying, no, I'm not. I don't want to be healthy, you know, find something. And but they didn't. And then one night I had a dream, and then I dreamt I was going to die of breast cancer. And then 2 weeks later, there I was, and I found a lump in my breast. And I said, what the heck is happening to me? You know, you know, have you guys ever heard of, you know, your body is a messenger, and it tries to warn you of things that you, changes you need to make in your life?
Oh, absolutely.
And so it was an awakening for me, and I went, okay, so my spirit is warning me that something seriously needs to change, and I, you know, okay, you know, but how do you know what to do? You know, it's one thing to recognize that, but it's a whole other realm of seeking, you know, the knowledge to know what the next steps would be. And so I, you know, I basically just, you know, sought out. I cried out to the divine powers. I cried out to the universe, to my God, and I said, you know what? I just need your help. You know, if your will is for me to be in this world and to have a purpose and a message and to make good out of all of this, then I seriously need your help. And the next day I took my daughter to the library, and she had to do some research, and I just felt my spirit talk within me, and it told me to walk down this row of the library. And, you know, I think many of us will hear the spirit within speak, and we'll say, no, we're crazy, you know. how can intuition really be telling me to do that, or, you know, that gut instinct? But it does. And when you listen to it, you know, and you follow it, and I did, and I went, okay, you know, either I'm really crazy or there really is, you know, the spirit that is really guiding me in this direction. And I walked down that row, and I felt spirit say, turn around, and I did, and I looked on the shelf, and there was this video, and it just really moved me to grab the video, and it was called Power of the Mind. And it was by Bill Moyer. He had done an interview with the doctors at in Rochester at Mayo Clinic, and they had just discovered in their research that the mind isn't just in the brain. It's in every single cell of the body, and it communicates to one another, and it can cause dis-ease. And I was intrigued with that. So I pulled the video off the shelf, and I knew I was going to watch it. And then I walked down to the end of the row thinking I'm going to go find my daughter. I'm walking. It was a long row. And I'm walking to the end of the row, and then I felt spirit move in me again, and it said, you know, turn around. And I turned around, and I looked, and it was like, you know, oh, you know, you just know something just moves you. And and I grabbed this book that really stood out to me, and it was Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Miss. And I went, oh, interesting, anatomy, yeah, not much about biology, but of the spirit, yeah. I had spent 2 years writing a spiritual transformation program and trying to get my spirituality defined, moving out of religion and just really understanding that connection. And I said, oh, this intrigues me. And here's the thing. I brought the book home that night, and I read the first chapter, and in that first chapter, it referenced that video.
Wow.
No mistakes, right?
Right.
No mistakes.
And then that led me on the journey to start really seeking to heal myself. And one, you know, spiritual insight led to the next spiritual insight. And before I knew it, you know, I was finding out information like about, you know, hypnotherapy and neurolinguistic programming. And I'm going, what the heck are these things? And what is that? And so I decided, you know, wow, after I did research, I decided I was really moved in spirit that those were the directions I needed to go to heal myself. And I decided to take those courses if, in fact, I could afford it. At that time, when I came to all of those discoveries, I was then divorced. I was shaving the balls off my sweater and sewing the holes off my, you know, my socks and underwear to try to just get by and make ends meet. And I needed $1,600, you know, to take NLP and hypnosis. And I thought, how on earth am I going to afford it? And I just, you know, I just threw it out there. And I said, you know what, I'm going to trust. And if I meant to do it, the money is going to show up. And the day I needed to register, I went to the mailbox. And in it, I had my property tax refund check. And guess how much it was?
Well, exactly what you needed.
Yeah. With $16.22, I got lunch, right? And so then I did. I took the classes, ladies, and I studied both of those courses. And the long and short of it was I ended up finishing up those courses, going in with the, you know, being the most stupidest, green, novice person, not knowing anything about it. And then I graduated by combining all of my professional experience and background, years in that industry and coaching industry, and I combined it with the hypnotherapy, and I ended up being the top student, and people were amazed at what I would do in the lessons and the situational experiences that we had when we worked with one another and worked in front of class. And I went, oh my gosh, could I really do this for a career and a profession? And I felt, I felt very strongly that, yes, this was what I needed to do. And I have overcome, you know, many struggles because people are like, you know, I'm sure you ladies are with it. You know, what's the divine goddess and what's that woo-woo, you know? People are a little bit scared. Some people are scared because it's so new. They don't understand it. But it really is, you know, God's divine creation within ourselves. And so I've been continually building my business since 2009, working with Busy Minds because I understand ADHD very well in my sound therapy. I love working with entrepreneurs, and I work with areas of coaching and hypnosis to really help people unleash their full potential and love who they are, you know, just really love who they are and let their inner light shine.
Exactly.
Wow. Oh.
Thank you for sharing that story. That was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well, and I think, you know, whoever's listening, if they might be going through a tough time, it's kind of nice to relate or for you to share that because, you know, what you have overcome is amazing. And I think it's a great story, fabulous story.
A story with, holy cow, yeah. I'm telling you. You know, Lori, just speaking of that, do you ever go in and talk to the mental health profession?
You know, I don't, Beth, because there's a fine line between, I don't want to say, kind of is a battle. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, you have in the world system, all right, in the world system we have this is what you should do, and you have to follow proper protocol. And you have mental institution environment where these are clinically diagnosed problems. Even ADHD is a clinically diagnosed problem. So I can't say in my private practice that I work with ADHD. And I can't say that I work with like anxiety or depression. But I will tell you that numerous clients that I work with have those conditions. What
exactly.
I do is I help them be self-empowered and learn stress management techniques and listen to audios and learn, you know, certain types of structures and systems and thinking patterns and thinking processes that help them through that in that format. So I'm not clinical. Does that make sense?
Yes, mm-hmm. It does.
Yep. And, Lori, I know that, you know, in your bio and then when you were talking about the busy mind. But is the busy mind because of the ADHD, or is it just part of that being empathic, or is it a combination, or how do you define that?
I define a busy mind like this. I will ask people, do you have a hard time sometimes sleeping at night because your mind is racing in so many different directions?
Yep,
right?
My daughter.
Not just a little bit, but a lot, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the type of person that is so gosh darn creative, right? I find that many people with busy minds, oftentimes what happens is that they're I studied the brain extensively, and if you were to take a person and you were to have them test themselves on a level of knowing, are you more right-brained dominant or left-brain dominant? Right brain meaning very, very creative, right, intuitive, insightful. Left brain meaning very analytical, rational, logical, right? And mm-hmm. if you were to ask people with busy minds, what area that they find themselves in, the people that are entrepreneurs that I work with, they oftentimes are almost like right in the middle. It's almost like they don't know who they are some days, because some days they're really good at project management, meaning that they can find structure, they can write things down, they can figure out what they want to do, they can get a plan. And then another day they're really creative and they have like these phenomenal insights and really good visions and great creative abilities. But what happens is they don't know who they are on what day, and they get discombobulated and they procrastinate and their energy is so spent in so many different directions because they don't know how to manage their time and their energy and their brain efforts according to the structure of the plan of what they want in their life. They can do so many things. They could be the musician or the writer, or, you know, they can be the very, you know, tactical, logical, you know, administrative assistant kinds of things. In different spheres, they can do many different things, and they usually end up being skilled in many things, but not an expert in anything. And then they feel mm-hmm. low self-esteem because they haven't found their home.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, some of that rings true for me. But I say with the crazy energies, that's I'm feeling. I think we all go through those periods where all of a sudden you're knocked for a loop and you're discombobulated. You're like, what do I do today?
Yep. Busy doing so much and then not really seeing what was the results. Like I worked with a client, one of my clients today, and I mean she had so many things laid out and what she wanted to do and so many different profit centers and so many different ideas. And I went, honey, your poor prefrontal cortex is so flipping maxed out, it doesn't know if you're coming or going. And until we can really find out that one directive that you really want to go in first that makes the greatest amount of sense, that is so exciting to your soul that it's ready to move in it, and then really having some support systems there, because when you get into the stuff that you struggle with, right, typically people with busy minds are adrenaline seekers. They want to go after the next exciting, woohoo, feel good activity. And then when they get into that lull and things start getting difficult, or they have to really focus and it's boring, it drives them nuts. And they're like, oh, I'm going to go do something else so it feels fun. So let's go on Facebook or, you know, let's go do something really exciting because I want to feel good. And mm-hmm. the follow through isn't there, so they continually fall short. So I help them develop the tools with sound therapy and really getting clear on what they want. Hypnosis helps, you know, drive the motivation and gain that clarity as well. And so all of those tools really, really work phenomenally well with people that have busy minds.
Good Lord, you just described me, Lori. Oh, my Lord. I'm going, check, 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 check. Yep, that's me.
Right? And yeah, and you have a unique program, right, that you help people with, and that includes like a line of audios too, right?
It does. My program is called Rapid Results Coaching Program, and in the Rapid Results Coaching Program, what happens is that I've been working this since 2009, developing it. And I'm so excited because, you know, you start out in the beginning and you're starting out, you know, you're trying all of these different kinds of things. And now I really have a phenomenal program that is it's systematic, but yet it's customized to each individual. And you start out really defining the person's, inner language. What do you want? What are your goals? What are the problems you're struggling with? And then what are you saying to yourself? Where's your self-identity? Where is your stuck points, like I can't or I should or I have to, that inner language that is self-sabotaging? So we really go into the inner linguistic processes and what our desires and our obstacles are. So that's in two sessions. I really dive deep into that and help people do that shift work in those areas of where they're feeling bad, not just on a psychological level, but physiological and emotional level, so they can shift out of that. And then the third and fourth session is where I really bring in some hypnotherapy kind of techniques where people learn stress management, they learn effective breathing. There's a really cool way I've taught people to breathe so that they can get into their theta brainwave state and just really calm and relax and get very clear on what they want and enter a peaceful place. So their brain functions effectively. Because when you're under stress and overwhelmed, you shut down that left hemisphere of your brain, and you can't think clearly. You think you are, but you're not. And so I really work with that stress management and then hypnosis. What's great is because I use tools. I use sound therapy, brain entrainment. I use crystal bowl clearing, you know, a 98% crystal bowl that sends sound into your body, and it clears out all of those barriers within your cells. So you're doing real good emotional clearing through that. And then you go into the hypnosis with suggestions. And so where a person is really feeling, you know, incompetent, sometimes they're insufficient, I really am gifted at finding out what your strengths are. And I go in there, and man, when I'm in hypnosis, you know, you're suggestible, you're relaxed. And I'm going to blast in every positive quality I've discovered in you in the last, you know, 2 weeks. And I am like, you are awesome at this, and you are really good at this, and you can do this, and this is who you are. And, I mean, huge transformation in people because, you know, how often do we beat ourselves up every day? We see our mistakes our whole life, and we hear every person in our life that's ever cut us down and said, you're not good enough, and why did you do that, or you're stupid, or the wounded child, you know, and I'm coming in and I'm blasting the light, you know, and I'm really, and it's sincere and it's honest, and people know that I love them, you know, and so through that whole 4-session program, you know, I'm really blessed to be able to say I've help my clients experience huge breakthroughs through the program. And they also have homework, you know, they also have action plans after every session, you know, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So they have something to work on and practice and do things, you know, so they can change their inner programming and their habits. And it's really been a fun development and really exciting to see people leave, you know, after the program and be so pleased with how their life has really transformed.
Wow. Cool. Wow. Fascinating. So, Lori, I have a question for you. So that it's a 2-week process that automatically people have to start working with you, correct?
It's 4 weeks.
Four weeks. So what, yep. And do the sessions run like an hour each time, an hour and a half?
The program is 4 90-minute sessions, and so I only see clients on Mondays and Tuesdays, and I work 12-hour days, and so you know, they'll like say a client will come in and they sign up for, like today I just signed up a new client and he wants Tuesdays and he wants my 3:15 to 4:45 session, so I go 4 Tuesdays in a row at that time. And then I book them on my calendar and I invoice them once and then they prepay. And then I lock in the coaching program and lock in all of those dates. And away we go. And so they get this 90-minute session. But what a lot of people don't realize is why the program is so unique is when we work together, I actually take notes on a whiteboard and I write down on the whiteboard the things that we're discussing and the educational points that I make. I don't want my busy-minded clients having to take notes or having to worry about forgetting something because they think more clearly when they verbalize. You know, they think by talking and expressing, and they have to just, you know, kind of puke it out, kind of get it out of their head. And so I don't want them to have to be so conscious-minded to write it down and worry about writing all the notes because they'll forget half of what we're learning. And so I tell them, if you want, you know, to remember anything that I've shared, let me know and I'll write it on the board. And I'll take, you know, like sometimes 2 hours. And I'll type up what I call a recap, and I type it up in a recapped format, and I email it to them. And sometimes it can be like 6 pages with resources and additional things for them to learn to help them grow in the areas of, you know, their life or their business or something like that. So by the time we're done, I have some clients that have like a 28-page, what I call personalized, customized guidebook for themselves to live their best life.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool. Do you have, like, spirituality pieces that you bring into your sessions?
To the people that want it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what, for the people that want it, are there specific things that you bring in, or is just whatever flows through?
You know, it's, I'm very intuitive. Mm-hmm. And I work within the experience. And so if somebody comes in and they're struggling with something, let's say I work with a lot of Christians, you know, people that come in, they're open-minded Christians. And I know scripture. I know it very, very well. I've studied it quite a bit. And I can come in and I can put analogies to things that I'm learning and lessons or to their struggles that will really help them be, you know, self-empowered. You know, we really do have these incredible abilities within ourselves. So I'll utilize it from that point. Some people will say, I'm not religious, I really don't know scripture, but I believe in God and I believe in a higher power. And then I'll work with that, you know. I'll work with you have, you know, a universe, you have a higher power there that is guiding you. So instead of, you know, getting stuck in this situation and thinking you're all alone, how might you tap into that, you know? So I'll ask questions and we'll utilize the resources. I work with people where they're at, you know. I don't judge. We're all at different places for different reasons.
Sure. Exactly.
Yep.
So the services that you offer, does insurance cover that or is that out of pocket?
It's out of pocket.
Okay.
Can you share some of the biggest successes that your clients have experienced?
Today, you know, I finished up with a client I've been working with a couple of weeks. He moved in, used to live in the state and had been, you know, out of it for several years and now moved back. And he's a website developer. And in working with that, you know, he had worked as a website developer on the East Coast, and he had worked with a larger corporation, and then he got a buyout. So now he's here, you know, in the cities area. And so now he's now functioning as an independent and really trying to figure out the processes and where he's going, and he's got a very, very busy mind. And so what I first did was teach stress management, how to do time management, how to manage the busy mind. In the process, though, I'm really good at asking questions on how are you managing your business and how are you doing your presentations? How are you selling yourself? How are you networking? So we got into all sorts of things. And as we were diving in, I found out that there were accounts that he had that were outstanding debts. And there was a significant outstanding debt to the tune of $20,000 that one of his clients had owed him, and he didn't know anything about, you know, templates and you know, how to actually close an account, how to actually, you know, set up documents for delinquent accounts and things like that. And so I've created him documents for templates for doing proposals for delinquent accounts and just really helped him set up incredible systems for his business. And because of that, he was able to collect up on that $20,000 debt, you know. It's kind of funny because after the 4 weeks or the 8 weeks we were talking, and I was saying, yeah, I said, you know, so here are all the different things he's done, investments in his business and how they've, you know, really panned out for him. And I said, well, I guess if you look at all the investments you've made, you'd probably say that your investment in me has given you the biggest return on your investment. He goes, oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, you know. And so that's one success story. I've had another client that I worked with, and he was in a six-digit income, and he worked with me for a couple of months, and he doubled that income in a year's time. So he's had significant successes. So those are, you know, financial successes. I've had people come in. One woman came in and, she was so distraught and downtrodden. And actually I have a connection with her husband in business networking groups. And he, you know, asked, do you think you can work with my wife? And, you know, she's just kind of, you know, down and out in her life. And, you know, I said, well, let me, you know, do a consultation on the phone and I'll talk to her and find out what it is that she's looking for and, you know, some stress management or, you know, defining your purpose or things like that come into play. You know, I certainly can do that. And so I set up the appointment and she came in that day and she just, I mean, the life was sucked right out of her. You could just tell she was just down and out. And I just loved on her that day. I lifted her spirit. I asked her a lot of questions, gave her hope, you know, basically, and what the program could do for her and how her life would improve. Yeah, and I found out the next session, a week later, she said, you know what, Lori, I didn't tell you, but I want you to know that that day I was considering suicide. And she goes, you turned my whole life around. And I went, oh, my gosh, you know. I'm glad she didn't tell me because I don't know what I would have done had I known that. You know, I probably would have had to turn her over to, you know, professional help because, you know, depression and suicide, that's not within the scope of my training. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's some funny things going on the phone line tonight. It's like all of a sudden
you
started echoing, and I'm like, hello, hello, hello. I also hear that you're writing a book.
I am.
Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
I can tell you the title and a little bit of about what it is. It's going to come out of, you know, my years of training, but bottom line, what it is, it's called Beast in the Attic, and it's helping people basically move out of the abyss of their mind, and which is their thinking patterns, their thinking, their thought patterns, so that they can live their best life every day. It's
sounds like an interesting book.
Pardon me?
Sounds like a very interesting book.
Yeah, it's... It's a lot of the things, you know, it's my story, it's my struggles, it's the things that I've taught my clients and how we all can get so trapped in low self-esteem and how we, you know, we're our worst enemy, and the enemy is in our mind. And we are so programmed, you know, based on what people say or what we even say to ourselves. You know how they say sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt me?
Yeah.
Baloney.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So I really do believe there's power in the word. You know, my business was developed on a scripture, and it was renew the spirit of the mind. And I do believe that our words have power.
Oh, yes.
A spiritual
power,
they do. You know?
Yes, they do. Yep.
They do.
Yep, they definitely do.
Yeah, so I want to teach people that. You know, it's like a boomerang and be really, really, you know, cautious and careful for with what you say. But I have to tell you, there are so many individuals that do not really even know how often they are saying negative things to themselves.
You know, that's true. If somebody were to sit down and take account and really be mindful of it, it'd be very interesting.
I will tell people when they're sitting down there with me, I will tell them, you just said, I can't do such and such, you know, and they go, did I? And I go, yeah, you did, you know. We don't even recognize sometimes what it is that we say.
Well, and I think that's important, especially with people with children, you know, to be very mindful of what you're saying, because you can just say the wrong thing to a child, and that child completely hears it in a different way, and then that turns his life in a different direction.
Exactly. There are many clients that I will have that come in, and when I do hypnosis work, it's to turn around the wounded inner child. You know, some people will do things and they don't understand why they're, you know, where their life started having those setbacks. And I had one woman one time where she wanted to be a successful speaker, yet there's something in herself that said, you know, she can't speak, she just can't do it. And every time she tried to do it, she would think everybody was looking at her and judging her. And so in hypnosis, we went back to find out, well, when was the first time she ever felt like she couldn't do it? You know, where is the root of that? And what she did is she went back to when she was 5 years old, and she remembered herself telling her two sisters, older sisters, that she wanted to fly. And her older sister said, okay, you know, of course, teasingly, we're going to show you how to fly, and this is what you need to do. You need to stand up on the arm of the chair, this big, you know, big chair that they had in their living room, and flap your wings really high, hard, and jump as high as you can. And then if you do it right, then you'll be able to fly. Well, obviously, what happened?
Oh.
You know, bump, she hits, she didn't. And I asked her, I said, okay, I've learned as a hypnotherapist not to ever assume anything. And I asked her, I said, okay, so then what was the first thing that you said to yourself after that happened? And what do you think she said?
What?
What would you guess? What would you comment?
God, I don't even know what to guess.
Hmm.
What would you guess, Marie?
I'm thinking.
I'm just like, oh,
I mean, was
gosh,
it something? Something where she turned it upon herself? Like, God, I can't even do a simple thing like flying.
Yeah, it was. I did it wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Instead of saying, you know, my sister set me up, I'm going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I would have gone after her. I would have ran through the house after my sister
went. You know it, right? It's like, get the baseball bat out. How dare you? You know better. You know I couldn't do it, you know, kind of thing. You know, that was my first instinct, you know.
Exactly.
Blast them, you know. But that wasn't the case. It was, you know, I did it wrong. You know, I didn't flap my wings hard enough. You know, I did it wrong. I'm not good enough. And so that, they call them, in hypnotherapy, we call it initial sensitizing events. And that initial sensitizing event was where that condition was set, where she said at a very young age, she's not good enough. She just can't do things good enough. And that trails with people in their life and their psyche, you know, and it's kind of funny because I coined this term of something Lori Bestler does. Lori helps people with their neuropsychetential. I love these big, cool combo words, you know? But it's the power of the
mind. What is
that, Lori? Right? The power of the mind is neuro, you know?
Yeah.
It's the atoms, the mind, and that kind of a thing. And psyche, you know, psyche is soul. You know, where is that deep psyche telling you what to do, psyche, inner knowing, and then potential. And so when you combine your mind and your spirit to your full potential, right, you get out of moving away from what the world traps, it's entrapment. The world traps us and limits us because it says you did this right or you did this wrong. Well, according to who? You know, it depends upon who you're talking to and on what flipping day and you know, what the heck is normal and what the heck is perfect and whoever wrote the rule book in the first place, for crying out loud.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so you just want to squash those conditions in life and set people free because it just traps us. We're all doing the best we can with what we have, where we're at, and we're all just trying to grow and to learn and to experience and to learn the lessons that we can in life. So it's not guilting and shaming. It's growing and experiencing. So we got to stop squashing one another and start lifting one another up and forgiving and accepting, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know, because, I mean, we do that. I think we do that. I know I do that on a daily basis where you do something and then you stop for a minute. And you're like, wait a minute, should I be doing this? And then I think to myself, well, who the hell cares? You know, I'm going to do it my way and this is who I am. And if people don't like it, then too bad.
It's because your calling, Marie, is your calling. And your calling isn't to go out there and please every flippin' person in the world. It's impossible. No, your calling is to work with a certain group of people in a certain area, in a certain cause or a certain area of enlightenment or a certain lesson, right? We're not all here for the same reason. And so we got to quit trying to put everybody in this same bubble or in the same reading from the same flipping manual. You know what I mean? We quit judging and quit pointing the finger. You know, we all want to be comfortable and we all want people, if they did exactly what we did, it would be more comfortable, but it would be boring. You know, that's not why we're here. well, not why you were here. Nina Potter, who had, I thank God for her every day, because this woman, when I first started out in my practice, I was so green and so scared and so insecure. And she had been doing it for quite some time, and she shared her office with me and taught me so many things in the industry. And the other day, you know, her and I were talking, and she was sharing this beautiful story with me, and it was so cute, because it was like, you know, let's say we're all here, you know, good Lord puts us all here on this earth, and we're here for a reason, right? And she said she read this child's book, and it gave the analogy so well. It was like, okay, so now, you know, we're all, you know, in the spirit world, right? And then we have an opportunity to come to earth, to the world. And in the spirit world, you know, they had these two spirits, and they were called forgiveness and kindness. And when forgiveness and kindness were in spirit world, we'll call it heaven, you know, happy place, right? And when they're up there, they had an opportunity to really learn more about what kindness was and more about what forgiveness was. And they said, okay, so we're going to have this training ground, and we're going to go back to earth, and, you know, God's going to give us the opportunity to go to earth, and forgiveness wanted to learn more forgiveness. And kindness said, well, I'll help you because I'm so kind. I want to help you. But I want you to know that if I come to earth to help you, then what's going to happen is I'm going to have to be unkind so that you can forgive me. Mm. And if I have to be unkind and you have to, and for you to forgive me, then your role is really going to have to be, you know, it's ultimately going to be helping me find myself that I really am kind. Right? Mm. Help me find my soul again. However, we won't know that that's why we're going to the earth to do that role. We're going to have to somehow figure it out and not know it. And so the analogy of that is that, you know, kindness did something that really hurt forgiveness's feelings. And ultimately, in the end, forgiveness said, I know, kindness, you really didn't mean to do that, because I know ultimately you really are kind. Mm-hmm. And then kindness remembered kindness was kind, and forgiveness got to be even more forgiving, you know?
Yeah.
It's such a silly analogy, but in reality, this world is kind of like that. We if we quit pointing our fingers at people and judging them and telling them that they're wrong, and we start knowing that maybe, you know, maybe they're in our life to enlighten us. Maybe they're the tool that is going to help us be a better person in right. some way, shape, or form. We can see the whole situation through a different light.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. We only have like 2 minutes left. Would you like to let people know how they can learn about your program or how to contact you?
Absolutely. I'd love it. A few things that I'd like to share here is, number one, you know, if there's anybody that is listening and they're like, wow, I'd like to find out a little bit more information about Lori Bessler's coaching program, they can just go to www.mindscapes.com. It's MindScapes unlimited.com. And then there they can just contact me on contact us and say, I'd like a no cost, you know, consultation. And I do phone consultations, and then we can find out if, you know, they're interested in that. On my website, I also have audios. I have a free audio download. So, you know, sign up for my, it's my newsletter, my free tips and news, and then you'll get a free audio download, which is really great. It's a 10-minute relaxer, so everybody can have that. And then I do have some events coming up, and so you can look on my website on the events and check those out. I am going to be speaking for WIN, Women in Networking. That's WIN.org. And I will talk in December. I will be doing a speaking engagement on, I don't know if I have time to even, I had it on my computer. My computer just went dead. So go on my website, and I will have all of the events. But I'm going to be on WIN speaking in December on Playing Big. Then in December also, I've been asked to be on a summit. And so December 1st released, there's 21 experts that are helping people be more successful in their businesses that work from their home. So I was interviewed with, really phenomenal people. I'm going, ooh, do I like rubbing elbows with these people? You know, they're pretty awesome. That's
yep.
Pretty cool. So check that one out.
We only got 10 Yeah, we gotta end the show.
Right.
They're gonna cut us off. But thank you, Lori, for being our
thank
guest this
you,
evening.
Lori.
We loved having you. And everyone,
yeah.
Have a great evening. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.